Hi, I'm Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the Pantheon Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Lights, camera, rock and roll. Music plays a huge role in film, and in this episode of Prisoners of Rock and Roll, we're taking another look at movie soundtracks. Soundtracks have given us some incredibly iconic songs over the last 80 years. Just think about it. Purple Rain, The Bodyguard, Titanic, Saturday Night Fever, 8 Mile, Ghostbusters, Footloose, Robin Hood, Judgment Night, Guardians of the Galaxy, Pulp Fiction, Singles, Gross Point Blank, The Lion King. I could keep going, but we have a show to do. Grab some popcorn and a soda, recline your seat, and silence your damn cell phone because we're about to press play on our favorite movie soundtracks. It's showtime. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Prisoners of Rock and Roll, episode number 79. My name is Bruce Kramer, and I'm behind the microphone and the computer tonight. If that makes me the director of the show, this would make the next person the star performer, the one and only Ryan McCusker.
Are you rocking?
Prisoners of Rock and Roll is sponsored by Boldfoot Socks as well as McCusker's Tavern in Philadelphia, and our show is proudly part of the Family at the Pantheon Podcast Network. That was actually a seltzer that I opened, so
yeah. you caught me off guard there. I was like,
I know.
I'm like, only you, pal. Maybe the warden, but only you.
What's going on, brother?
I'm rocking. Everything's cool. You know, I go with it.
Right on, man.
Yeah, you know, I am a huge fan of movies. The only thing I know more about than music is movies. And soundtracks are a big part of movies. Sometimes the songs are bigger than the movies.
It's great because we did do an episode on soundtracks, like episode 3, like way back then. Because before we even were playing music clips, so we were like, let's do it again because we didn't play any of these songs.
No, we're a little bit more together now.
Yeah, we got our shit together. Dude, we opened with Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds. That is one of my favorite rock and roll songs.
Yeah. I mean, I tie that song in with the Breakfast Club. I can't help it. I play the song with my band and I call it the Breakfast Club song.
People know that as the song from the Breakfast Club as much as they know it as the Simple Minds song.
I mean, how cool is it at the end? Judd Nelson's walking down the football field and he has Molly Ringwald's earring in his ear and he's fucking rocking, you know?
Right on. Yeah. There's so many of these songs that are just, they're just tied to the movies, right? They're just connected forever.
Do you have a favorite movie?
Oh man. I do. It's probably Shawshank Redemption. There's no like music from that though. It's like a score.
But you know, I was thinking let's have some fun with this soundtrack idea. In the bar, they play a game. They play on the jukebox. They play a song on the jukebox and they have to guess what movie the song came from. So I say we do that with our listeners. Maybe they'll have a little fun, give them a little time to figure out what movie it was from, and then we'll give them the answer, you know.
I dig it.
Yeah, man, let's have some fun.
Are you allowed to do this in the bar, or do they ban you from doing it?
My very good comrade Jesse told him this is his idea from the start. He started doing this in the bar, and I kind of bit off of him for the show.
Cool. Jesse's a good guy, so I'm sure
he's the greatest. Jesse's
awesome.
Yeah.
So, Jesse's a good dude. All right, here we go.
Now, do you, Mr. Bruce Kramer, know what that song movie is from?
Absolutely, man. That is from Top Gun. That is also one of the most iconic.
Chicken dinner.
I knew that not just because I have Spotify open playing the songs. I knew that, man. That is also one of the most iconic soundtrack songs ever.
It was one of the first records I ever had of my own money, like cassette tapes, let's say. I got a Walkman for Christmas, and this was the first cassette I bought with my own money. And it was rock. Kenny Loggins is great.
It's very 80s, but there's a couple songs from that soundtrack, too, that have that same, like that Berlin song is, it makes me think of Top Gun.
Take My Breath Away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song stinks.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's a great 80s love song.
Yeah, next thing you're going to know is you're going to play it.
Now, we got so much on here. We got so much stuff that we need to cover. But, yeah, and of course, it's not on the – it is – no, I think Otis Redding is on the soundtrack, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
That was the first time I ever heard, I think, Dock of the Bay. Great Balls of Fire is on here. You lost that love and feeling. Yeah, you know, that's a music is a big part of that movie, man. Right, the guys all standing around singing. You lost that love and feeling together.
I love the follow up movie they did a couple years ago, the Maverick movie.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Like Goose's Kid, you know, it was tasteful. You know, I really dug it.
It had just enough like throwbacks to the old movie, but it was still like fresh. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. You got to know that one, right?
I mean, we're from the tri-state area, brother.
Right. We're from the Philadelphia metro area. It's a, from Rocky IV, Eye of the Tiger.
I think it's for like a few other Rocky movies too, but
yeah, I think it was
represented in all the movies. But man, you know, I know what it is right from that riff right in the beginning.
Sure.
Good shit. I mean, what's more influential than Rocky? You know, a guy that's no special anything. He's kind of a bum, you know, and he comes up on top.
Yep, you know, just a ham and egger.
Yeah, he beats up people for a living, and he's not a very likable character until you start seeing the little bit more sensitive he is, and you know, with the storytelling of here's this opportunity in front of him. You know, why him kind of thing. But I think, you know, besides the rest of the movies, if they only made the first one and the second one, it would have been the greatest story ever. Like The Godfather. Like they should have never made the third one. Like one and two is just the shit. They should have just made one and two Rocky and that's it.
I like the fourth one.
Everybody does. Yeah. That was our generation. Who doesn't want to beat the Russians?
The fourth one also has some, there's some other good music on there too, like Living in America. James Brown is on there. Yeah, that John Cafferty song, Hearts Are on
Fire.
What a
great song. Great song. It is.
John Cafferty, we talked about him before, man. Just that Jersey Shore sound, except he just got wiped off the board by Springsteen.
Talking of him, he did a little song for a soundtrack.
I was bruised and battered, I couldn't tell what I felt. I was unrecognizable to myself. I saw my reflection in a window and didn't know my own face. Oh, brother, gonna leave me wasting away in the streets of Philadelphia.
I mean, it gives it away, the title of the movie right there.
Of course. Yeah, mid-90s, early 90s Springsteen, not the best of his creative output, but that is a good song.
But what a great movie to raise an eyebrow to a situation that was going on in America at the time. You know, here's Tom Hanks, well-known actor. Character gets AIDS.
Yep.
You know,
Denzel Washington's in that, and he's one
of the lawyer.
Like, right. And Denzel Washington's one of those guys, like, I'll go see a movie that he's in just because he's in it. Like, he's that good.
Yeah. He's good in that movie. But, you know, it's a different kind of movie. But the song is, you know, Springsteen. How can we not play it?
Thought it was interesting. If you ever see the video of it, it sounds a little different because he's, in the video, he's walking around Philadelphia.
Yeah. That's my hood. My hood right there. Absolutely.
It's because he's wearing a mic and he's singing it live as he's walking. It's not like he's not lip syncing over it. He insisted that he sang the word. So if you ever watch the video, it sounds a little different because he's actually singing it. There you go. So you learned something.
I had no idea.
There you go.
I can't wait for Springsteen, dude. I'm ready. I was watching his Broadway thing on Netflix this week. Mm-hmm. I've seen it before, but I had to watch it again. It was fucking awesome.
It's almost, I remember reading his book and I was getting a little jealous of like how well written it was. I'm sure he had some help, but just the storytelling in it was just really, as somebody who writes for a living, it was like, man, he's really good at this.
I mean, he wrote all those songs. I'm not surprised. He's a good, you know, writer, tells a story. Look at all those stories he told in everybody's head all those years, you know?
Speaking of Springsteen, you know, like in his orbit is Southside Johnny in the Asbury Jukes. And he was just playing the 50th anniversary show at the Stone Pony in Asbury Park this weekend. And he like collapsed on stage.
No.
Yeah, he's okay. I think he just was like heat exhaustion or something. But it was Southside Johnny's like 75 years old. But
yeah. I've seen him in concert. You ever see him?
Yeah. Yeah, he brings it. Yeah. It wasn't my favorite, but you're right. He brings it, and he's very important in the Jersey Shore sound. They were like the house band, right, at the Stone Pony for a long time, where Springsteen cut his teeth. But
what was funny in that Broadway play thing Springsteen did, he's like, there was no Jersey thing until I came on. I invented that shit.
Yeah.
He's like, there was no Jersey Shore. I invented it.
The book was really good. The Netflix special is really good. And the Philadelphia soundtrack's got some other good songs on it, too. That's an album. Like, I pulled it up as it was just playing. I haven't listened to that since, shit, I had the CD.
Listened to it. I had the single.
It
was on the greatest hits, I believe. I don't know.
It is. There's, like, a Neil Young song on there, Philadelphia. It was pretty good. Sade was on there. The Spin Doctors cover Credence, which is a little weird, but there was there's a couple, and that Italian opera song that Tom Hanks's character listens to as he's dying was on there. Not the most uplifting soundtrack I've ever heard, but there was some good tunes on there.
It's a serious movie.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
We'll be right back.
another classic, right? If you can't be into movies and not know that that's from Beverly Hills Cop with the legendary dude, Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy. Oh, God, they were great movies. They're making a, I don't know why, but they're making a new one.
I saw that.
They got all those dudes, Judd Reinhold's in that, and whoever the other guy was, he's still alive. He's going to be in it.
I'll check it out.
No, I love Eddie. I was just saying, I wish Eddie Murphy made more adult humor movies, but he just makes all these Disney movies all the time.
He made like a Christmas movie this past year.
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, it was okay. It was hokey, but it was all right.
Eddie Murphy, I wish he would do a comedy stand-up movie again, like Raw. You know, imagine all the shit he could talk about. He could just talk about 10 minutes about his brother.
Right. Charlie Murphy.
Darkness.
I feel like he, I don't know, man, like he just kind of he disappears every couple of years and then he comes back and not Charlie Murphy, Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy just kind of comes back and makes a movie and he goes away. And he, I talk that with my wife a lot. I'm like, why don't so-and-so hasn't made a movie or a music in a long time? Like, he doesn't need to.
Yeah. I don't think Eddie Murphy's been the same since he's been caught with that transvestite. I think he totally got into his church and just said, oh, whatever. I made a mistake, you know. But he is so talented. Just look at all the Saturday Night Live things he did. Like, you know, you imitate James Brown. You imitate Little Richard. You imitate Stevie Wonder. He could do it all. He was so great. You know, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was so, you know, he was in all those movies, and, you know, Nutty Professor, and then he, you know, he said he just kind of disappears every once in a while. And you're right, between the movies and the comedy stuff and Raw, right, is like one of the most iconic comedy albums ever made.
He's definitely one of the greatest of all time. You know, maybe he just took what Richard Pryor did and brought it another way in, but Eddie Murphy is one of the greatest.
Yeah,
he can do it all. He does it all.
It's like some of the best like montage music comes out of 80s movies.
Oh, yeah. Now we all know that is from Footloose, one of the greatest movies of all time. You know, Kevin Bacon saves the world by teaching everybody how to dance.
right on.
That soundtrack is amazing. You know, we had it on vinyl as a kid. You know, Kenny Loggins. Another smash hit he had.
I think that Bonnie Tyler song is better than Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know a
third Bonnie Tyler song.
No. So I wonder which one's played more on Spotify.
Oh, I can tell you. Total Eclipse of the Heart has about 706 million plays, and that one has about 402 million plays. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she has that cool kind of raspy, too many cigarettes voice.
I love it. You know, it's rock and roll. You know, you don't really hear that kind of voice anymore in rock and roll. Everybody's so clean. Everybody's so clear. It's too perfect.
She sounds a little bit like the girl that was in, We Are the World, sang with Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah.
Kim Carnes.
Yes.
Yeah. Same kind of real smoky, the lady that Kathleen Turner, like that type of voice.
Oh, Kathleen Turner, so sexy.
Not anymore, but she was.
You ever see Serial Mom?
I don't think so.
Oh, man, what a great fucking movie that is. If you ever, If you ever get a chance, watch that movie. She is awesome in that. Let's keep on moving. I got the next one for you. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself. Try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
I love it.
I know. Obviously, that is from the Karate Kid movie. Daniel Russo, winner.
I'm glad we played that and not that Peter Cetera song.
No, that was from the second one. Nobody cared about the second movie. It was all about the first one.
Do you watch Cobra Kai on Netflix?
I do not.
Really?
Yes.
I'm shocked to hear that.
I'll start watching it.
Yeah, just knowing now, how much you're into movies, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I know it's about like the other side of the coin, like Johnny's side of it. Like, here's this kid that moved into the neighborhood and fucked everything up for me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's all grown up, and he's kind of a alcoholic and a fuck up. And he, it's good, man. And it's pretty much they're running out of characters to dig up and bring back. But I think the upcoming season is the last one. I'm looking forward to it. It's good.
Okay, I'll definitely put it on my list.
It also has just that, kind of like Top Gun, it has just enough like fan throwback. Service to like, yeah, throwback stuff, but it's still kind of fresh. It's cheesy at some point, like some of the fighting, but it's worth checking out. It's good.
Yeah, but the wax on, wax off.
Yeah.
You know, he gets friggin' Elizabeth Shue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rich girl, the poor kid goes out with the rich girl.
Yep.
You know, it's like, he gets that fat ass car that Mr. Miyagi gives him.
Yep.
That yellow. That was my dream car as a kid. Elizabeth Shue was in the car too at the cinema.
I think that car is in the, it shows up in Cobra Kai. I don't remember, but.
Really? I'll watch it just for that.
Yeah. I don't think Elizabeth Shue was in it, but.
I love Pat Morita. You know, what I love Pat Morita in was the episodes of Happy Days he was on. When he was Arnold, he was the greatest. He was so funny, man. And he did such a serious role in The Karate Kid. And he was this hardcore comedian before he did The Karate Kid. You know, he was brilliant. He was a brilliant actor.
And he's just a dude now. Like, you can't see him in anything without thinking he's Mr. Miyagi. Yeah.
He's been gone for a long time.
He has been. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's keep on rocking.
All right.
Let's go to the next one. Elastic tubes and pots and pans, bits and pieces, and the magic from my hands will make it weird science. Things I've never seen before. High voltage doors, talent, and imagination. Weird science. Not what teachers said to do.
Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo. Jack Skeleton himself.
Yes, Danny Elfman.
Oh, he is a brilliant dude. And Oingo Boingo is a kick-ass band.
They were on my list. They put out an album. Well, the band changed his name to just Boingo. They put out an album in 94, which was pretty good. It was on the list to play. I wanted to talk about it the last episode, and we just were talking for so long I didn't play it. But they covered I Am the Walrus from the Beatles and some other weird stuff. But he's cool, man, and he's so talented, dude. If you don't know Danny Elfman, if you have ever watched TV or a movie, you've heard everything from the Simpsons theme to God knows what else.
That's exactly it. God's theme song. He's done it.
right. Yeah.
But the movie Weird Science, what a great movie that is. Michael Anthony Hall, he was great in it. I forget the little dude's name. And what was her name?
I don't remember. That's a movie I haven't seen. And I can tell you, it's a movie I haven't seen in 30 years.
But you remember the song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love Weird Science. There's a lot of great one-liners in there. And, you know, when Anthony Michael Hall's all blasted and he's talking to all the gentlemen at the club, he's like, this will kick me in the balls. Kick me in the nuts.
Kelly LeBrock.
That's who she is. The Woman in Red. That was another movie.
She still looks good. Her Wikipedia page says
she's gorgeous.
Yeah. That's like, well, she's 10 years older than her Wikipedia page is from 2014, her photo, but it says she's like 64 now. Whatever, man. She looked aging more gracefully than I am. So the hell do I know? No.
I love when the grandparents show up and like the party's going on and they're like, get out of this house. And then they like, freeze them in time and they put them in the fucking cupboard. Oh man, I could do this all night long, Bruce.
You know what, dude? I got a song. I want to throw a little curveball. I got a song that it wasn't on here and I should have put it on here. It should be on the playlist here.
I love it. Let's go. Now that is from the greatest animation movie ever.
The Touch from Transformers the movie, not the original, not the crappy Michael Bay movies.
Oh man, what a great movie. You know, Optimus Prime dies, man. How crushing was that when we were kids?
Dude, as a little kid, that was my favorite cartoon. I remember like running home to watch that.
Oh,
And then the friggin' movie comes out and they killed like all these people in like the first like 10 minutes. Like Megatron shoots like Ironhide in the face with his cannon and kills him.
Yeah, like this whole series is over after this movie.
Yeah, right. And they said they just killed them all off so they could introduce new characters for the toys.
Yeah, but, yeah, that was Hot Rod from the new.
Yeah.
But, that's great. Do you remember in Boogie Nights? This is the song that Dirk Diggler sang in the studio when he was making a record.
Yeah, what song was that?
That's this song.
Oh my God, no, I didn't even recognize. No. Oh,
dude, you could pull that up on YouTube of him singing this.
You got the power!
Sorry. I totally forgot that was what he was singing.
Yeah, when I saw that in the theater, I busted out laughing. I automatically knew it was from the Transformers movie. Like I saw Boogie Nights in the theater and I literally start cracking up.
That's hysterical.
I thought it's funny how he's singing in the scene anyway. But sure. The song is fucking classic and just the whole scene is hysterical.
That song's in the Transformers movie in like 7 different places too. It's like the
every time they get it on, like,
yeah, such an 80s battle. Yeah, such an 80s sounding rock and roll song.
Man, what a great fucking
love
movie.
I love that song. Love it.
Let's keep on moving, brother.
All right, dude.
Dude, is that the warden doing that?
I was just Dude, I was thinking, I was like, that should be the Warden's theme song.
Shit. But it was from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Of course.
He was also in The Secret of My Success. Do you remember that movie?
I do.
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
Yes. It was one of those Michael J. Fox movies. How can you forget when he's around, messing around that Mustang, and they're just playing that song? You know, it's pure, pure awesome.
That's a totally, to me, that's a that song. Like, oh, is that song?
Oh, yeah. That was Macho Man's theme song. Should have been anyway.
Another band couldn't tell you. Two songs that they wrote, Yellow, but you hear that, it was in commercials and movies and all kinds of stuff. Oh, my God,
it was everywhere.
Yeah.
It was in so many things. It was just, now it's just like a cliche thing that you see. Like, they play that song because it's such a throwback.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it, man. I love the techno beat in the background. And it was probably made on a little Casio, you know?
They're probably way ahead of their time for, like, electronic music whenever the hell this came out. And it's, like, two German dudes.
Oh, yeah.
But says they're still making music. Good for them.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just keep on rolling. Here's the next one.
Oh, my favorite movie of all time, brother.
Back to the Future.
There
is no better, like, bar band, right? They're a bar band that made it huge. Oh,
the News is the shit, man. They were such a great bar band, like you said, man. I bet they could play anything. I bet you they go up there and they got a couple charts and boom, 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 boom. And I think Huey Lewis could sing anything.
He had such a cool voice, man, right? Like, we were talking in the We Are the World thing, like, how long they were trying to get him just to sing those two notes or those two lines.
In that documentary on Netflix, they were saying how he sang Prince's part. That's some big shoes to fill. Yeah. He was like in his vocal range.
Yeah. It's, it kind of surprises me that they never got nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, just because the number of hits that they had in like the '80s, and you know, they kind of petered out in the '90s, and, but
who cares, man? Look at all the, they were the sound of the '80s, man. You know, and Huey Lewis is in the movie. Did you know that? He's the in the beginning when they're trying out for the school dance, and the guy with the principal stand, not the principal, the teacher stands up the megaphone. He's like, "You're just too darn loud." That's Huey Lewis.
That's Huey Lewis. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I know these things because I'm a movie geek, bro.
Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good. All right. Let's keep rolling. That's how I feel when we do the show with the Warden. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right.
That was from the infamous scene in Reservoir Dogs.
I can't hear that song without thinking of Michael Madsen dancing with the ear.
Or he's like, can you hear this?
Yeah, he's dancing with the razor.
And he throws it over his shoulder like it's nothing. Like it's like a peel of off of orange. Like, you know,
I love Quentin Tarantino movies. I don't love Quentin Tarantino movies as much as Quentin Tarantino loves feet, but I do love Quentin Tarantino movies.
I love Tarantino. All his movies, like everything. He's great. I love, you know, the guy can get away with saying anything.
Yes, he can.
You know, it's like he's got a I don't know how you say carte blanche to say whatever right. he wants, like racially. He gets away yeah. with it.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite directors. Him and the Coen brothers are my favorites.
As we're on Tarantino films, maybe you can guess this next one.
I love you so much, can't count all the ways I died for you, girl, and all they can say is he's not your kind. You never get tired of putting me down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find. Don't let them break up your mind.
That is such it? It's from Pulp Fiction. That is such Pulp a friggin' Fiction,
absolutely. But it's Urge Overkill doing it, not Neil Diamond.
This is such a friggin' great soundtrack that came out in 1994, something we totally missed last week.
Oh, how did we miss that?
Right?
Jungle Boogie.
There's so much cool music on that soundtrack, man. The Al Green song is great. The Dusty Springfield song.
There's a lot of dialogue on there, too, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it always had little clips. The movie Dick Dale is on there, of course, and just a great soundtrack.
Great movie. He makes like Django Unchained is one of my favorite fucking movies. Like, that's such a great all around movie. The movie he made with the Hollywood, whatever it was called, that was a great fucking movie.
The Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That was a great movie, man.
I really liked that.
Yeah. I like how Tarantino like sets up his movies in alternate worlds.
Yeah.
Like, this could have happened this way.
He also does a really good job of incorporating music into his movies.
He's the best at it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know?
Immortal fear, that voice so clear.
Dude, I love that song.
I love that movie, man.
Yeah.
The Lost Boys is one of the greatest vampire movies ever. They didn't make vampires sexy. They didn't fucking have dreamy eyes or whatever the fuck it was. They were killers, you know?
Did they make a remake of that or reboot?
I think they did. I think with the Coreys were in it. I don't know.
Anyway, but that song is awesome. I still listen to that song every once in a while.
You know what's awesome in that movie? Is that saxophone player in the beginning of it. He's kick-ass. You see him around the circuit every once in a while.
Like session, doing session stuff?
No, like he's out like playing gigs. Like, oh, okay. See the guy from the Lost Boys. Like the big muscle.
Well, hey.
He's like, he's got the chain around his neck and shit.
Gotta keep
he's
hustling.
All steroid up. He's all, yeah, man. If you're known for something, keep going with it, bro. That's the way I look at it. You got a gimmick, roll with the gimmick.
Speaking along that theme of soundtracks.
Yeah, let's keep on going. This was another dark industrial kind of movie at the time. It was different. It was really popular, and the soundtrack was even bigger. Wow, what a great song that was, man.
Bird
what a great
the
movie.
Off of the
for
Crow
the
soundtrack.
Movie The Crow soundtrack. How big was that soundtrack?
Yeah, so that we'd mentioned that real briefly. That came out in 1994. And you're right, dude. That album was, I remember that just flying off the shelves.
I remember Brandon Lee flying across building from building when that song is playing in the movie. Like, I was just watching not too long ago. It still stands up, man.
It held up?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I'm not a big Cure fan, but that song is it's a little darker than some of their other stuff. Like, the bass is real heavy.
Yeah, I love The Cure. I wish I could have fucking seen them when they came around, but they sold out so fast.
Okay, let's keep on rolling.
Oh, what movie is that from?
I had to look that one up.
Are you kidding me?
You got me.
Dude, I hope I got some other people out there. Come on.
Fight Club.
The ending of Fight Club. When they blow up all the buildings and shit.
Yep. I only ever watched that movie once.
Oh, you're out of your mind. That's something I watch all the time. There's so many good quotes in there. You're missing out, boy. You're missing out. That should be like watched every like 6 months. If you're Generation X, you should have to watch that movie every 6 months.
I like the Pixies. I mean, they were on we did an episode on Rock and Roll Hall of Fame snubs. They were on my list. I thought they should have gotten nominated. I'm surprised they're not. But what the hell do I know? That is a cool song, though.
Yeah, great song. Let's keep on moving, brother. Oh, that's a heartbreaking song to a heartbreaking movie, man.
I get totally, I can't hear that and not see John Cusack holding the boombox and say anything.
Say anything, man. That is a coming to age movie. That like just speaks to generations. Like, you know, it doesn't matter when that movie was made, like with the time signature or the movie or the songs or whatever. Love can always be told in a story, you know?
The 80s were really good at making those coming-of-age movies, like The Breakfast Club and Say Anything, and, you know, there's a whole ton of them.
Cameron Crowe made that movie. And he did. He has a history of making awesome rock and roll movies. He made Singles.
Of course.
Singles is a great fucking movie with a great fucking soundtrack. He did Almost Famous.
Yep.
With an awesome soundtrack, awesome movie. He did Vanilla Sky. That also has a great soundtrack. You know, Cameron Crowe makes great films. He knows his music. He was a writer for Rolling Stone magazine at like 13 years old. If you never saw Almost Famous, it's his story. I suggest any rock and roller should go out and watch it. But yeah, Lloyd, poor Lloyd, chased the girl all the way to England. But anyway, let's keep on trucking.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, I love Dirty Dancing, dude. I think, I don't know, maybe there's something wrong with me being, I mean, the story of a middle-aged man falling in love with a 16-year-old girl or 18-year-old girl. It is a weird movie. You watch it and like Patrick Swayze is like 40, you know, and baby's like 18.
Little weird. Yeah, I did not like that movie growing up. My sister and my mom used to watch it all the time. And but as I've gotten older, the soundtrack is really good. And it's a great you know what? And a lot of these movies, the soundtracks are great ways to kind of get an introduction to like older music. Like Pulp Fiction is great at that. This one, singles, the Forrest Gump soundtrack was like introduced me to like classic rock.
Amazing yeah, right, soundtrack.
Right. Yeah, Forrest Gump is like, I mean, that's a history lesson. It's just like, here, you want an introduction of American rock and roll from the 50s to the 80s here, right?
I was going to try to put something with Forrest Gump on here, but that's way too easy. Yeah. We could have an episode all on the Forrest Gump soundtrack.
Right. I mean, a lot of these soundtracks too, you're playing, there's multiple songs from these movies that were like, oh man, that was good too. Like, oh shit, Dirty Dancing and Footloose and yeah, just really cool. Pulp Fiction.
This next song, we have a new listener out there, Bruce. She's our number one listener out there, and her name is Priscilla. And this song goes out to her because I know this is her favorite movie. Empire Records,
man.
It's Rex Manning Day.
It was a big deal for us working in a music store when this album came out.
Let me just go on the record. Working in our record store was nothing like working in that
nothing
record
like
store.
That.
Nothing like that at all.
We didn't have anybody look like Liv Tyler either.
No, or Renee Zellweger.
Right.
But yeah, Priscilla, there you go, babe.
Right on. It's a good soundtrack. I haven't listened to that one in a long time either, but just looking at it, there's some your favorite Toad the Wet Sprockets on here.
Ugh.
So some other that Edwin Collins song, Girl Like You, came from that. There's some good stuff on there.
I'll be the judge of that.
All right.
Let's keep on going. Let's get some metal in here. Let's see if anybody can recognize this. Oh man.
Megadeth, man.
Last Action Hero soundtrack.
It was also a really good soundtrack.
Oh my god, it was great. I had Anthrax was on there, Queensryche was on there. There was an awesome version of Dream On from Aerosmith on there.
Alice in Chains is on there.
Yeah. And the movie was awesome. I love The Last Action Hero.
Yeah, it was like it was cheesy, but it was supposed to be
cheesy. Supposed to be.
Yeah.
Kid pops into a movie. Come on, bro. That's a movie I saw in the theater, and I went out and I ran out and bought the soundtrack right afterwards. I was that geeky.
Did you?
Yeah, I was that geeky, bro.
Right on. I don't know, man. Why don't we take a little break?
Let's take five. Smoke them if you got them.
All right. Stick around.
We'll be back.
Prisoners of Rock and Roll is sponsored by McCusker's Tavern at 17th and Shunk Streets in Philadelphia. There's something for everyone on the beer list and the jukebox in McCusker's. It's minutes from the sports stadiums in Philly, making it a great place to stop by for a few drinks before or after a concert or a game. Come see for yourself why everyone from Philadelphia Magazine to Playboy has called it one of the best dive bars in the city. Visit them at 17th and Shunk Streets in Philadelphia or on Facebook. That's McCusker's Tavern.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once, new quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Prisoners of Rock and Roll is sponsored by Boldfoot Socks. We're proud to have them on board because they just make a great product. Their motto is grown here, sewn here, because Boldfoot Socks are made in America. They have a variety of styles and designs for everything from going to work, working out, or doing a podcast and talking about music soundtracks. They're also just great people. Every pair is made in America with materials that are grown in America. So as soon as you're done listening to us, head on over to boldfoot.com and check them out. Look at all the different styles they have. Tell them the warden sent you. That's boldfoot.com. Oh, yeah. All right, man. Saint Elmo's Fire, dude. That's just a great 80s rock song.
Yeah, I mean, the movie's great, too. I mean, another coming-of-age movie.
Sure.
I believe it was a John Hughes movie.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, he made a lot of great movies. That was like a coming-of-age, right out of college. Everybody's fucking their life up. It's like what you're supposed to do after college.
The 80s were great, man, for coming-of-age movies and just rocking soundtracks.
Yeah. 80s, it was like all these movies were fun. You know, like, I don't know if they make movies fun like these anymore. You know, and the soundtrack goes along with a good movie. You know, what's the biggest soundtrack to a movie that came out? Was it probably the Taylor Swift soundtrack?
Yeah, and it's like, does that count? Because it's kind of like a concert thing, right?
Yeah, but there's probably stuff out there where we don't even know about because we're older, you know.
Right. But I don't watch a ton of modern movies, but...
No, but one of the greatest 80s movies of all times had the song in it. I get happy right when I hear that fucking song, man. That was my favorite movie growing up. I might go watch that tonight when we're done, man.
You should.
I heard they were making a sequel for that for the last 20 years.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I heard that too. I mean, yeah.
I hope they don't. I don't want them to fuck it up, man. You know, like, I never even saw, like, the new Bill and Ted movie because I wasn't even going to mess around. Like, I don't even want the image in my head, you know. But
yeah, I didn't watch that either.
I love the Goonies, One-Eyed Willy, you know, booby traps, you know, and just if you never saw the Goonies, then there's something wrong with you. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's great. It's an adventure movie and it's funny and it's got action in it. It's great.
They can make a ride out of that in like Universal Studios or some shit.
Sure.
Let's keep on rocking, brother.
Right on.
Oh, I love that fucking movie, man. I love Grease, man. I can't help it. It was one of the staples of my music growing up. I was like 3 binge watching that movie over and over and over again. You know, that and Star Wars. Imagine that, you know, like in the McCusker household, one VCR tape was of Star Wars. The other VCR tape was Grease. We just went back and forth.
I love Star Wars. I don't love Grease, but that's okay.
I love the 50s, though, man. I love that whole, you know, that time period. So I always love American Graffiti. That had a rocking soundtrack. You know, anything to do with the 50s, I'm all about, man.
I like 50s music a lot. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of musicals and just in general, but, you know, it's all good, man. That's why music is so awesome. There's something for everybody.
Always. Let's keep on moving, brother.
Yeah, something else that's maybe kind of in that same theme.
I love that movie, man. That the Wonders. You do. The Oneaters.
I wonder if there's enough, like, if you could do an episode on songs by fictitious bands, right? Like that Sugar Sugar by the Archies, and you got this, and the Monkees, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure we can figure something out. Put it on the list. Yeah, man. Put it on the list. Now, this next song is from a movie that was very important to me growing up. I don't know to you, Bruce, but I think this song can speak to everybody.
And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know their wrong way and see. Someday we'll find the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Magical, man.
I think everybody could use a little bit of that song in their lives.
I think so. The Muppet movie is just something magical. Just, you know, our super fan Priscilla has never seen the Muppet movie, man. I know, that's what I said. But Jim Henson was an amazing, amazing director, inventor, screenwriter, songwriter. He did it all, you know? And I can't stress the level of saying inventor. You know, he revolutionized something. He made, like, puppets real. Like, dude, the fucking Muppets are real. I'm sorry.
And we've talked for months about trying to do an episode on the music from the Muppet Show, either the artists that go on there or the songs that the Muppets sing, right? They were.
I don't know. Just, that's going to be like a 4-hour episode, man.
I love it. And all those Muppet movies are great.
I love Muppets Take Manhattan. They have a song and that's a fucking heartbreaker. It's time for saying goodbye. It's not on Spotify either, which is annoying me, but you know, that's a heartbreaker. So
everybody should know this one.
Everybody should know this one.
You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me.
I don't believe that movie is almost 30 years old.
I believe it, man.
That's some Toy Story.
Toy Story is the greatest, man. I still have a Buzz Lightyear in my house. You know, like, you got to keep that inner child inside of you, man. That's so important.
That's the problem with people, man. They get old too soon and smart too late. But you're seeing how cutting edge, man, that technology is. I looked it up. I clicked on the song, and it says that the soundtrack came out in 1995. I was like, holy shit, man, that movie is 30 years old. That technology, that kind of ended a lot of those 2D Disney movies. Crazy.
The animation of it changed the game. Like, Disney stopped doing, like, flip animation, we'll call it, with, like, drawings. And they just went computerized, and I kind of miss the flip page animation movies like Aladdin, or even
sure,
even like it was kind of even like when I think the best is the Beauty and the Beast. That's a beautiful movie.
The old ones like from the 30s were still like those had big soundtracks in them too. Right, like Snow White,
Mary Poppins. So many. Snow White, Lady and the Tramp, Peter Pan, Fantasia.
Mm-hmm.
The list. We can sit here and go on and on and on, all the way to Disco Disney.
All right. So, speaking with those themes for, old soundtracks from really old movies. This was one of the biggest, oldest soundtracks.
There's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. You dare to dream, really do come true.
That's almost 100 years old. It's like 85 years. It's like 85 years old.
What a great movie Wizard of Oz is, man. You don't even have to say what movie it's from. It's
right. Yeah, everybody knows what that one is.
And the thing that amazes me, it's generation after generation finds it. And all the, like, specifically little girls find Dorothy, and they identify with it right away. No matter what generation goes by, Dorothy's always going to be a thing.
Sure.
I love the Wizard of Oz. I don't know. I love the Dark Side of the Moon Wizard of Oz
thing. Time it up. The Wizard of Oz is timeless. I said it's one of the first. Yeah, if you're not into film, it's probably one of the oldest movies you'll watch, unless you go looking for movies from that era on purpose.
Yeah, like right? Gone with the Wind is another one.
Yeah,
of that time period.
Sure.
Golden age of movies, man.
Yeah, and it's fun to. It's movie just fun to watch every once in a while, just to see how far technology has come in production and colorization and everything.
You can't beat the classics though, man. Like,
sure,
I can watch the Wizard of Oz and sit down and go, oh my god, look at the color scheme they used in the background scene. That's what I look at.
Yeah.
You know, like,
sure.
How do they come up with these colors? You know, what chemicals did they mix and put it on their faces and get skin cancer from it?
Right. The Tin Man getting ill from the stuff they had to put on his face. And
the Wicked Witch, she had an issue. She caught on fire.
Yep.
I don't know. Let's keep on going. Great that story, movie.
That song is not held up very well.
No, but the movie's great. Neverending Story is a great movie.
I never noticed that. I never knew that that song was sung by the lead singer of Kajagoogoo.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, see? You learned two somethings tonight.
We're here to educate and entertain.
Yeah. That movie... I mean, shit, that part where the horse dies has got to be the most traumatizing. Yeah, people our age were eternally scarred from that.
Great movie. At the end, when he chases the boys with the big dragon.
Yeah, with the Falcor.
Falcor.
Yeah.
Great. Love it.
That was always the movie, man. When I was staying home sick from school, that was always what I'd dig out the VHS tape and I would watch.
Oh, yeah. And the little princess girl.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, dude. Good stuff.
Yep.
I think it's time to get a little punk rock.
We need to play more Ramones on this show. I don't care
every
how much
show
we
play the Ramones. Yes.
Right.
You ever see Rock and Roll High School?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really good.
No, but the Ramones were really good.
I mean, they're in it a bunch of times, and it's so hokey. I will watch it, you know, if it's on. I'm like, how many times you get to see Joey Ramone on cable? You know, it's like... good stuff, though.
They're one of the greatest bands ever. We talked about them a bunch of times, and we always say that they were awesome.
They just revolutionized pure emotion, pure aggression, pure passion. When they try to bottle and sell that shit, you can't.
Right, but there's like a pop sensibility to their music. You know,
well, that's like the great thing about them. They had that like 50s sounding,
right.
You know, rockabilly, rock roll, you know, like this next song from this original movie by this original guy.
One threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there, they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard this knocked out jailbird sing.
That was Elvis's best movie was Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah, I was just going to say that Elvis was making a lot of... There's a period of his career where he was making, just churning out these soundtracks, all the movies he was in, and some of that music is not good.
It's awful.
That kicks ass, though.
Yeah, that movie is kick ass. I mean, black and white. He's trying to be Brando and James Dean. He does a great job at it. I mean, I'm an Elvis kind of guy. You know, I think my nickname is Elvis to some people. I don't know. But You can't go wrong with the king of rock and roll, brother.
Yeah, there's just some point where the Colonel just had him making movies and making soundtracks, and the movies got worse, and the soundtracks got worse, and some of the stuff is just terrible. But again, that song is iconic Elvis.
Yes, that's the best Elvis.
Yeah, agreed.
Young rebel Elvis. You've been on many adventures, haven't you, Bruce?
I have.
You just came back from Gettysburg, were you?
Yeah, wife and I spent a couple days out there doing some history stuff, and it's actually funny because there is, in the center of Gettysburg, there's a little town square that has a circle in the road, and I had to drive around it a couple times to try to get a parking spot, and I kept saying, look, kids, Big Ben driving around.
Nah, it only comes from one movie.
It's a great song, man.
From the Griswolds.
Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac. It's a great tune.
Every family has a little bit of the Griswolds in them, if you're doing it right.
Definitely the older I get, the more I appreciate what Clark Griswold was going through, particularly when I watch the Christmas National Lampoons.
I enjoy all the movies during the seasons of the year. You know, I love the Vegas one. It's hysterical.
Yeah, they're all funny. All right, I think we had a couple songs left.
Let's start with fun shit, man. Let's go with some weird shit. This is a really weird one.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
A to the right. I love Rocky Horror, man. I was fortunate enough where I, in South Jersey, where me and Bruce met, I was from Haddon Heights, New Jersey. And in that town, there was called the Harrowin Movie Theater. And every Saturday night, they had Rocky Horror. So being underage and going to Rocky Horror at midnight was the shit.
And people would bring like shit to throw, right?
Oh, yeah.
I never went, but it was like a like, interactive with the crowd.
It's great. Dude, everybody should try out Rocky Horror once, like with a crowd. It's I'm so glad that I grew up knowing about it and seeing it and being a part of it. Because you really don't see it around anymore. You know, everybody adds, there's like the dialogues going on, and then the audience has things they throw in the middle of it. And the timing of it is unbelievable. You know, when the wedding scene, everybody throws rice. When there's a raining scene, everybody's got water pistols. Everybody's shooting water up in the air. You know, it's Rocky Horror, man.
I never went and saw it, but I knew that was the thing in the town, that it was on every Saturday night at midnight. They would play it.
It was great. I was so fortunate to have that in my life.
Very
it was
cool.
So weird to be like, you know, like 16, 17 years old and having this weird fucking thing around you.
Sure.
Is almost like culture shock.
Sure. Sure.
You're transvestite from Transylvania. And yep. I'm 16 years old. I'm like, what? And what?
Now let's just, never mind. That's called sixth grade now.
All those jokes are going to come back.
Right. right. Everything has come full circle. Time is a flat circle. All right. I think we got time for one more, dude. Needs no introduction.
It's so cold.
man.
That sounds so interesting with the headphones on.
Yeah. There's no bass in it. There's no bass guitar in that song.
Huh.
It's unreal. It's like he put a song out that's so weird and timeless, I think.
It's so, yeah. There's so much going on in that song. Like, just yeah. again, with the headphones on, there's so much stuff.
Yeah. I love Purple Rain. I think that's one of the greatest rock and roll movies ever.
Sweet. I think that's soundtracks, man.
I mean, there's a shitload of them we didn't get to.
Of course.
You know, we didn't even touch on like Above the Rim or, you know, soundtracks like that. We just, you know, there's just so much shit. So yeah. much.
Yep. But we can only do so much. So, all right. Let's get to the back end of the show. All right. I got a couple music news things. First, for Record Store Day, Dave Grohl is teaming up with Anthrax to release a single. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, all right, cool.
I saw the pictures.
Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters is teaming up with Charlie Benante and Scotty Ian from Anthrax for Record Store Day. The three musicians are releasing a cover of the Bad Brains song Regulator under the name GBI. They're only going to make 3,000 copies, and all of the proceeds are going to go towards the medical bills for Bad Brains singer Paul Hudson, who has a really rare neurological disorder that produces these really devastating headaches. Bad Brains is cool. Anthrax is cool. Dave Grohl is cool. I'm looking forward to hearing that when it comes out.
I wonder if it's going to be like on Spotify or if it's just going to be like Record Store Day only.
I'm sure it'll surface on like YouTube or something, because I doubt I'm going to be able to get one of the 3,000 copies that gets released.
Oh, yet. I'm getting one.
Are you going to find one?
Oh, didn't you know I was getting one?
I'm sure you will.
No, I won't.
You'll find a way. You're Ryan McCusker. I never doubt you.
See, you build my ego every week. And
Beyonce went country. Beyonce became the first black woman to do with a number one.
Man,
number
she one is cashing singer. In. She is cashing in.
Her song Texas Hold'em debuted at number one. She has a country album coming out on March 19th. She debuted the song during a Verizon commercial during the Super Bowl, and not everybody liked it. John Schneider, who was Bo Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard, said Beyonce and other entertainers entering the country music is like a dog pissing on a tree to try to claim it as their own.
Imagine what Waylon Jennings would say.
It's okay. I mean, I listen to a lot of country music.
I don't care. I could care less. I mean, Beyonce doing country music is a little funny to me.
Yeah.
It's just like... Or are they like trying to cash in on everything they possibly can? What, because Dolly Parton made a rock and roll album, Beyonce has to make a fucking country album?
Very well could be. I think it's good exposure for country music to get Beyonce in it. I mean, Beyonce is incredibly talented.
I understand that, but I'm sure there's other women out there that fit the category that Beyonce is getting recognized for.
Sure. I mean, there's some awesome female country singers out now, like Morgan Wade and Lainey Wilson and a whole bunch of others. Yeah, dude, I heard the Beyonce song. It's totally something like there will be country line. There's some country line dance that'll be with that. It just it sounds like a dance song, but
I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Second thoughts. I got several second thoughts. So Mike Cianfrone, buddy of mine that I work with. He wrote me, he said, I started to listen to your new episode. I love the year in review episodes. They're always a favorite. I'm still shocked by the death toll of some of the bands from that era. Like, you know, a lot of those guys had rough going, but hearing it all just brings it all together and is sobering. Pearl Jam stuff and even STP are in pretty regular rotations for me, but hearing that Soundgarden stuff number of years later really brings you back. By the way, you guys were talking about Ants Marching by Dave Matthews Band, and do they play that at every show? Their set list is different every episode. I say they play it maybe once every four or five shows. They played it when I went to the show at Madison Square Garden in November. They had a bunch of guest jazz musicians with them, and it was tremendous.
Awesome.
And yeah, so appreciate that. Mike is the dude, I mentioned before, that his son had cancer. His son is fully recovered now, which is awesome. So
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Really, really cool, man.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah. Mike's a good dude, man. Josh from Bullfoot Socks, he said, this episode took me 8 hours to finish. I kept having to click off and go listen to some of the music. 1994 is the best year for the second best decade of rock and roll, the first being the 70s. Kick-ass show as always. I'm already counting down to the Prisoner's trip to Vegas in January. P.S. I went to the Pink Floyd tour in 94 in Ames, Iowa.
Thanks, dude.
So
see, it never ends, bro. That will go to my grave. We'll say, what do you most regret in your life? I'm like, I didn't see Floyd on the when everybody else went and I didn't go.
We got some YouTube comments. Pretzel Rod 24 said, I have a hot take for you. Nirvana is the most overrated band of all time. Fight me.
No, I'm okay. With you.
And then Rod MU2VX on YouTube said, I've been a Doors fan since the early 90s. I'm 44 now. I believe Jim Morrison was a brilliant young man. I believe he wanted to use his rock star status as a stepping stone for his writing and poetry career. Unfortunately, he was consumed by his vices of alcoholism and depression. R.I.P. James Douglas Morrison. So he thinks that Jim Morrison was a brilliant and not a buffoon. So
good. Yeah, that's why we have our show. Thanks for listening, bro. I like what he had to say.
All right. Time for the electric chair, where we kill a song for being terrible. And you had something that you brought up last week. We were talking about music in 1994, and you said the Shrek soundtrack, and we were talking about Hallelujah from Leonard Cohen, and you mentioned the terrible version of it in Shrek, and you said that it was Mike Myers. I actually looked it up, and it's not Mike Myers actually singing. It's actually the musician John Cale. For some reason, John Cale's version isn't on the soundtrack. It's the Rufus Wainwright version, but
it sounds like Mike Myers singing it. That's why I couldn't that we can't kill the song. We had another song from the Shrek soundtrack that we could totally annihilate.
This song sucks.
So does Smash Mouth.
Remember the guy died and nobody, or like they took him off the stage, they replaced him on stage and nobody even noticed.
Nobody noticed until he died.
Right. Some people were like, I thought he died 10 years ago. Some people didn't notice.
See, the old man Bruce would say, I wonder if he had the blonde streak in his hair still till the day he died.
they're one of the worst bands of the 90s. Like them and Insane Clown Posse are like the worst bands from the 90s.
Who would win in a wrestling match?
It's like probably the Juggalos. I have no idea.
Oh, Juggalos would stab like a shank. Thank you.
This song is so this is so bad. I hate this song so much.
I love the Monkees version.
Yeah, I hate the Smash Mouth version.
I hate everything Smash Mouth does.
Yeah, they're gonna smash my head.
Somebody told me the world is
Then I'm an asshole, like you were singing last week. Let's get the hell out of here.
We sentence you to death.
Shrek's a great movie. It's just...
Yeah, but...
You know. So that's it for episode 79. We only played 30-second clips of the show, but you want to hear all this great stuff. There's a link to the episode playlist in the show notes. Go check out the full versions of all those songs and support those artists. And you can support us by following us on your favorite podcast platform, leaving us a review, and telling somebody about us. You can also drop us an email, check out our website, connect with us on social media, or stop by the legendary McCusker's Tavern in Philadelphia, and if you're in that part of the world. And if you're in that part of the world on May 4th, you can stop in the legendary McCusker's Tavern and see Ryan's band High Street Records performing.
Oh, it's going to be a great time, dude. It's May the 4th be with you.
Right.
So it's going to be a Star Wars-themed thing, man. I suggest all of our listeners come down and meet the warden.
He'll have at least 3 Sharpie markers with him to sign autographs. And you say, Mr. Warden, can I have your autograph? And he say, oh, yeah.
Bom, dum, bom. Dum.
So, all right, man, that's it. We'll be back in 3 weeks. We're taking an extra week off because I'm going to spring training for baseball in 2 weeks.
So
I'll be sending you some text messages as I'm wearing some flip-flops and drinking a cold beer watching baseball.
I'm freezing in Philadelphia. Stinking Philadelphia. But you know what I do in stinking Philadelphia?
What's that?
I keep on rocking.
Peace out.
I'm just a prisoner.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.